Well, maybe I'll talk a little bit about precious metals. I mean, you guys have probably, you know, I'd assume most of you have at least a little bit of ear on the track when it comes to precious metals. And they've, you know, they've been doing pretty well this year. I think silver's up, you know, as a percentage, maybe 40-some percent, 40, 50, 45, 50%. Gold is up about 30, you know, 30-some percent. Gold's always going to be a little bit lower in its volatility. Sometimes people are like, oh, I want the silver because of the potential upside. I totally agree. Balance is the key. I think some things that are maybe a little bit positive going on here. We had, I don't know if you've taken the time to watch the national conventions as far as Democratic and Republican. I know it's kind of hard. A lot of people don't even have TV so much anymore, but you can get different apps that help you, you know, acquire that kind of thing. But it's been very refreshing because the media so, I don't know, embraces this, just this radical leftist, vitriolic, hateful. I feel like it's coming at me from all sides. I think I'm, you know, I listen to it everywhere I go. I don't care if it's, you know, CNN or if I flip on the radio, or it's like anywhere I go on the internet, trying to look things up, getting all this biased, very biased, skewed information. The new game, folks, that you got to watch for. If any of you are kind of surfing the web, I'll give you this advice. Most of you probably won't take it because people believe what they read and believe what they see. This fact-checking game, this was done by Stalin's Russia, by Nazi Germany, the government. Why is the government the official of everything? So we're doing this fact-checking thing. So I'm out doing a little internet search today on a specific site that I have, you know, some respect for. And all of a sudden I get, you know, some new fact-check site. They're saying, well, it's because she doesn't disclose who she works for. She just says she's an independent and all this stuff. Because of that, and, you know, I don't remember all their reasoning. They rate her 30 out of 100 for transparency and accuracy. And she'd say, like there's in an article where she said, you know, she listed some things that happened. And then asks a question, you know, did this occur? And then they come back and say, they circle it and say, well, this never did occur. And there's no evidence this occurred. Where am I going with this? You are now sitting in the cesspool of the greatest propaganda campaign, I would believe, in the history of mankind. It says, you know, the devil's the prince and power of the air. You know, we've got wireless everything. The internet is his. It's his domain somehow. Why do we get these crazy lefty radicals controlling the media and journalism? It's all part of the socialistic agenda. And they go generation after generation after generation. It makes you kind of wonder, you know, it's the yin-yang, the good versus evil. Do we need this all the time, you know, to keep us on our toes and keep us fighting for the cause? I'm starting to wonder if that's the case. And if we did have our way, would we end up just cranky and apathetic and lethargic about it, you know? Because really, typically what happens with humans, you end up seeing people that get, you know, rise to a certain point in life where life's good. And you'll often see them, you know, over time, they lose their gratitude and appreciation. It's like they say, you need to always remember where you came from, which is, or remember who you are and whose you are. A good example, kind of on the contrary, is there's a movie out. I can't remember the name of it, of course. Great. It's a black legend, but it's not a legend. It's a true story about a black guy who was the child of a king, and his grandfather was a king in a country, and he was captured for slavery and brought to the United States. Well, he knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. And he rose up, and he stood up, and he fought for people, and he raised a lot of Cain. And it's, you know, it's, I can't remember the name of it. I could find out. I haven't watched it yet, so I can't even, I'm not referring anything. I just know the story. I learned it long ago. It's a true story. They say it's a legend because, of course, it was floating around in the 1880s and 90s when racism still prevailed a little too much and, you know, whatever. But the point is, he knew whose he was and who he was. He knew he was the son of the king. And because of that, despite the fact that the enemy had captured him for slavery, he never forgot. And when it came time to rise up, it wasn't just his genetics and his blood. It was what was upstairs, what he believed, what he knew. And he knew the cost, and he knew what was right, and he knew where he belonged. And we all need to be that way. We've got to know who we are and whose we are, and we can't forget that. God made each and every one of us. You might think, oh, you know, it's genetic lottery. Yeah, but what about the spirit? Where does God get the spirit, you know? I know twins who are absolutely so, I mean, their DNA is identical, and they're absolutely completely different personalities. One of them is an absolute radical artist, and these guys are in their 50s. One of them is just a complete artist. The other one's a super high-ranking, you know, he's got an amazing decorated military career, and he's, you know, in charge of a lot of major financial things, and he's, you know, they're the same genetically, but obviously they're not. So there's something about the spirit that God puts within us. So we're not just the product of a genetic lottery. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about that. It doesn't tell us where the spirit comes from or how God chooses what, where, and how. But I can tell you what, your spirit doesn't have a skin color. That's the individual that, when we die, goes with us where we go next. So I think it's important to dig down in yourself and realize each and every one of us is uniquely created by God with a purpose. People say, I don't believe in destiny. Well, it depends on your definition of it. It's like, you know, there's things that work and things that don't work for the way God made you. Some people can't do math or science or whatever it is. And, you know, obviously not everybody's a great athlete, no matter how hard they try, unless they find some weird sport that there's no one to compete with. But anyway, so I think it's important that we find out and ask God, each of us, what does he want us to do with what he gave us? And then we go out and we make our difference in the world. That's the whole point of Paul when he speaks about the body of Christ. He's like, you know, you've got the arms and the legs and the ears and the eyes. We're all part of it. And we oftentimes, I think, tend to judge certain responsibilities as greater than others. And I don't think that's right at all. You can't, you know, I mean, you might be a pinky toe, but a pinky toe is necessary to balance the entire body, you know, and along with a lot of other things. You could be an eyelash, you know. Without eyelashes, your eyes would basically be destroyed, and they keep them clean and everything else. So every single part is necessary, and we just need to figure out where we belong. I think a lot of times people try to plug in through the church. The church is good. It's the body. But also, you know, we live in the world. We're not supposed to be of it, but we're in it. And we need to find out where we belong in it. We need to be brave and courageous. We can't hide out because we're afraid of people, what they'll think of us, or maybe we'll get some rebuke that we don't think we want to hear, or whatever it is. We need to integrate ourselves with the world those around us in order to maximize ourselves. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You'll never find anybody who's isolated from other people for a prolonged period of time, especially peers, that doesn't either demise or kind of go off the deep end. You'll get these, you know, scientists that do all their work by themselves. They end up a little bit goofy, to put it lightly, sometimes more. Or if they're not pushing themselves in that direction, they just lower their standards until they finally give up and sit in front of TV and watch The Price is Right all day long. Price is Right reruns. That's got to be pretty good stuff. So anyway, going through listening to the Republican National Convention last night was very refreshing, or the last few days, I should say, very, very refreshing, because the Democrat side has been just so terrible. I mean, you've got Nancy Pelosi sitting right now, you know, Speaker of the House, telling people that she doesn't think Biden should debate Trump because she doesn't think that Biden should stoop down to such a low level and demean himself. And they literally sit there. They're so mad. He is such an outsider, folks. And now, if you think about it, he's running against an incumbent, okay? People don't know what an incumbent is. An incumbent is the person who already holds the seat of the office, okay? So you're like, well, Trump's the true technical incumbent, but Biden is the spiritual incumbent. What do I mean? Biden's been in politics for 47 years, and his entire history is a disaster. I mean, he's literally been on the wrong side of everything. I was looking through this stuff here earlier. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's like everything that could go wrong, everything that would be a bad decision, he's done. The guy's crazy. And I know you get like Kamala Harris, his running mate. She has incarcerated more. She was a prosecutor, I believe, in San Francisco. As a prosecutor, she's incarcerated more minorities than any other prosecutor in the history of the United States of America. Can you say hypocrisy? These people, when they get to the point where all they want to do is win, I mean, and if they don't care, I mean, Biden, if truth be told, and what frustrates me about us humans, somewhere inside, we have to know the truth. I mean, everyone's got to know. Biden's super old, incompetent. You've got all these people that want to get him in. So you've got two factions, I see, of the Democrat Party. You have the definitely the Clinton-Obama dynasty regime. They want that office back. Trump has literally done more in his time in office than any other president ever. And he has kept his word. It's driving him nuts. He's draining the swamp by removing bureaucracy. Folks, I mean, he lets out this black gal, 22 years, grandmother, 22 years she'd served of a life sentence. Why? She had one drug charge. She had a money problem. And went and tried to sell like a pound of wheat. Got set up, I understand, by an agent, by a DEA agent or something. You know, she foolishly asked someone how to sell drugs or something. And so they hooked her up and they set her up and said all these terrible things to her and that she didn't disagree with. In other words, you know, you're going to be selling drugs the rest of your life, and you're going to be, you know, and all this crazy stuff. And you might get to the point where you have to, you know, use a gun. And she'd just say nothing because she's like, whatever, I don't really care, I just got to listen through this or whatever. 22 years of a life sentence. How many other people are out there like that? And I've had people say to me, well, you know, that's the risk you take. Justice is fair. I know of child molesters. I know of one in particular, not like a friend, but a father of someone I know, that molested his son grossly for until he was a teen. And then that guy never said anything to his family. And so the grandfather went on and did it to his grandkids. Supposed Christian, right? Not 6 months. 6 months. So a guy who does that in mass, plus he'd had other issues that were part that had shown up, you know, whatever. It was a severe problem. By the way, people with that sexual disorder cannot be cured. They get that in their wiring from an early age. That's what they know. They've just shown it. There's something about that part of our mind. When it gets wired with certain preferences, that's it. So when those people have that really deviant, disgusting, sick, gross, you know, there's things in my mind, fine. God wants to forgive them. That's up to him. But I don't even know. Maybe I forgive them, but I just don't think they should be walking this earth. In the Old Testament with the Israel, you know, God would stone those people and get rid of them because it cleans up the DNA and that stuff probably passes on or whatever. But the point is, people like that, and I know of another guy, a couple actually, really heinous, bad situations, you know, babysitter thing and just terrible, right? 3 years, one and another got five and was out in 2.5. But yet you have a gal who did a small whatever. I'm just saying, I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying we've got to be fair and just. Our justice system is so broken back under when DNA became allowable in the 90s, when they finally agreed DNA testing was available, it was accurate, and they could start using it to, you know, exonerate cases or reevaluate evidence. Something near 9% of our national death row inmates were released based on DNA evidence, okay? Wow, that was, I think, by 92 to 96 or something like that, or 92 to 98, whatever. And it is just, you know, when we find that level of error, it's time to back off on capital punishment. Capital punishment, you know, a lot of us say, well, yeah, it makes sense if you can be 100% accurate at all times, never make a mistake, and seek the truth. The problem is a prosecutor, I mean, calling him a prosecutor, you know, maybe that just alone makes it, their job is to bring the battle to everybody who comes before their desk. A lot of them will brag that they have X percent of convictions. Well, you know what that is? It's plea bargains. It's a conviction's a conviction. If someone goes in for, say, embezzling a substantial amount of money from a business, and then the prosecutor lets it sit for a while, and without the owner's knowledge, goes and plea bargains it down to a misdemeanor, you know, that shows as a conviction, and it's easy for them. They don't want to go to court. They don't want to go through all that stuff. I don't know why, but prosecutors, when that whole DNA thing was going down, the 9%, the majority of that, 96% or something of them, was due to prosecutorial suppression of evidence. So our system has changed. The system that our founders set up was intentionally designed so that any man could choose a jury of his peers or go before the judge without a whole bunch of fancy speech and vernacular, without the white wigs they used to have to wear, That's what our founders said. That's what they mean, a jury of your peers that you pick from a community that are eligible for jury duty. They come in, you know, you pick half, the prosecutor picks half, back and forth. And then they, you know, then of course everything's become so technical. Back in 1804, there was a case where a guy, Thomas something, heinously murdered his wife and got away. You know, everyone knew it. There was no doubt, and he was going to get strung up. And he had a lot of money, and he brought over four attorneys from England. And then they put on this massive production and had the jury laughing and all this stuff. Went on for 6 weeks, which back then was nothing. It was ridiculous. Never happened before. And then the guy got off, and that was when everything changed. Now the rich, it became, could hire attorneys and abuse our system and stomp all over it. That wasn't the desire. Attorneys are necessary for research and information. They're very good at it. And now the law, you know, and constructing arguments and all that, I mean, obviously they're trained in that logic and all that. But our system, for the most part, was designed to not have to go to that limit. And now we've got prosecutors that can suppress evidence to get a conviction. Exculpatory evidence. And it's ridiculous it happens so much. If they come up with that, I mean, they have an obligation. They shouldn't be a prosecutor. They should be a master investigator who can prosecute. Because, and that's really what they should be, they should be able to look at all the evidence objectively and say, is there a case here, number one? Number two, is there exculpatory evidence? If there is, then release it to the defense. Let people go. They don't understand. Sometimes I grew up, you know, with my dad as a bail bondsman, and my mom owned a large legal firm in Great Falls, and you know, it was one of the biggest and best in the state. There was partners in court reporting and all that, and then but the whole thing, I got exposed to that stuff a lot, and you learn. People get in the groove that are in the legal system, and it becomes business as usual, and they can lose touch with the impact that they're having on individual lives. And I've often thought judges, a lot of them, have got to have a level of contriteness and humility to be right and righteous, because if they don't, I personally think they're going to pay a huge, huge price to God. You get the prosecutor that put this lady away for life, and you've got a problem. You know, she who was the prosecutor? I looked that up earlier, but why did they do that? You know, I mean, I guess that's enough said, but the bottom line is, this is a situation where you take a human life. It's worse than murdering them. Because you dislocate them from their family, their kids and grandkids have to grow up without them. You know, and then it's just, I think you get my point. It's pretty clear. So I think as a nation, we do need justice reform. This is something that we're not even approaching properly. All of these riots and all this stuff, this is just socialism heavy, not light anymore. It's part of the Frankfurt School. You know, Obama knew the Cloward and Piven strategy. I didn't fully understand it then. I do now. When you capture health care like they have with this COVID mess, deception, folks, you own everything. You control everybody's everything. If they control your quote-unquote health, I mean, what I used to say, well, someday they'll control the air you breathe. I didn't know how. Here they are. Put this mask on. There's absolutely 100% evidence, facts, not even evidence, just facts. The mask does nothing to prevent the transmission of any disease, viral, and even bacteria. It's just a joke, okay? It's a big anxiety relief. It's a Valium pill. and there's all the people that drink the Kool-Aid. They don't go out and get the information. Oh, by the way, you can't just go get the information because Google's full of propaganda lies. I mean, this is really where we're at, and Facebook and taking people down and shutting things off and all these attacks on Trump with the social media. I mean, folks, how can the propaganda machine get worse? And I'm telling you, I don't care where you stand. I've got friends who are liberals. You go, okay, I watch Fox News some. I have friends who are liberals. You go to CNN, MSNBC, they hammer on Fox so bad. They lie beyond lie and say that Fox is lying. And Fox has like the highest ranking for accuracy in reporting by a long shot. MSNBC's is terrible. It's been a while since I saw it, but I swear it was in the 40-some percent. They had Fox rated at like 96, and they had CNN in the 70s. And yet they want to point the finger and say Fox is wrong. If you're going to watch some news, you know, watch like Tucker. What's her name? The gal who used to be legal counsel for the president, Laura Ingraham. She's okay. I mean, she's got good information. These kind of people are pretty solid. Brett Baird on the weekends. Jesse Waters is amazing. But you get real information. You get truth, and you know it's truth, and you can taste it. And I know a lot of people have friends that are kind of liberal, and I mean, I've talked to them, and it's just crazy where they don't want the truth. And I always told my kids, seek the truth no matter the cost. You have to want the truth. If you know, like I think Trump mentioned in one of his speeches lately, how they control everything you say. They make you afraid to say the truth. This is what they're doing to Trump. They can't shut the guy up. They can't shut him down. And it's driving them batty. They can't stop this guy. He's a true outsider. They have nothing on him. That's why they've tried everything under the sun. They're like, we got to get something on this guy because we only know how to play dirty. And what I was saying a bit ago with Biden, they know he's a terrible candidate. I mean, can you imagine wanting to win just so bad? That's the problem with the two-party system. Our founders warned against it. You know, they basically, George Washington said on his departure speech when he was leaving his administration, his two terms in office, he made the thrust of his speech about the two-party system. He was terrified. This is exactly why. John Adams said, quote, a division of the republic into two great parties is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil. And guess what? That's what we became. George Washington's farewell address was, of all the things he could have talked about, the first president of the United States, the point of his address was warning against two-party system or hyper-partisanship. He said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, sound familiar? Natural two-party dissension. In other words, two-party systems come with the spirit of revenge. It's just natural. It's apparently natural law that way. Us against them. And he goes on, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. So our founders were brilliant, and they were doing a social political experiment. They were starting a new country. We just accept it the way it is, and we've got these other factions just wanting to tear it down. The Republicans are for the Republic. The Republicans are for conservationism, and they're for morals and ethics and truth and a proper balance of government, small government, hypothetically, give that up. Limited spending. Yeah, that's right. And but the whole thing is, so they have to do the opposite. the Dems have to go the opposite. I will say honestly, when Obama was in office, I didn't feel that the conservatives did that very well themselves. I remember being like, come on, guys, put a contrast out there. Show people the difference. They become ashamed. They shame us into conformity. I covered on the show Wednesday, Yale's doing this huge study, getting ready to put out this new vaccine campaign. And when I was finishing up the show, I ran out of time. I mean, it's going to be more overwhelming than all this other stuff we've done. Our government has done intermittent vaccination ads. This is going to be the all-out guilt trip. This has been going on. I'm not a big fan of vaccines. And I believe the science is out there to show the dangers. And, you know, like I mentioned, SIDS and autism and all kinds of autoimmune stuff. You can see autoimmune disorders explode with the rise, proportionally with the rise of vaccines. You put in a dead virus with a bunch of nasty poison. It's, you know, the virus itself is a pathogen. In real life, it only has a few ways to enter the body. That's through open cavities. Your mouth, your nose, your eyes, whatever, your ears. And then it goes to work. It goes through the body. It finds, it recruits cells, turns them into factories, creates more of itself. The T2 cells come down, identify it, and go back and, you know, and create antibodies from various parts of the body, depending what it is, and they go to war. Okay? When you put a vaccine in your body and it's dead, it's no longer a pathogen. It's poison. It's a toxin. And these dead virus, they still carry the DNA. That's what they're putting in you. That DNA goes through your body and it settles all over joints. But where it really settles is anywhere that there's inflammation. Well, can you imagine a newborn child? How about a girl? Young girls in general are in a constant state of inflammation. That's why they get 9-to-1 autoimmune disorders to males. And it's all this has come about with vaccines. Yes, there was some before, but you know, there's always a small genetic component, but also insect bites. We know that, you know, certain Rocky Mountain fever or certain ticks can carry Lyme's disease and stuff. So it's, you know, there's been stuff out there like that. But this is rampant, and they're not looking at the science. They don't care. There is huge money and huge influence behind this. I have a feeling after this is all over, a lot of information may come out on Dr. Fauci. They have lots of it now, but you're not going to see it or hear it. So I've never been a big fan of these vaccines at all. And I'm telling you, I've never gotten a flu shot. Sickest I ever got that I can recall was when my father got the flu shot for the West Nile virus that year. Every year, it's a terrifying thing. This year, it's this. This year, it's that. Oh, my gosh, you better get this vaccine. Money, money, money. Why? Control. Get you ready. Conform. You know, people talk about this nano chip and all this stuff. I mean, Gates has come out and said it. This isn't like some conspiracy theory. It's a fact. They've got a plan. So why would they be so hell-bent, and that's what it is, too. Yale's doing this study. 4,000 participants randomized to receive one of 12 different messages with 10 different messaging variations, one control message and one baseline message, after which they'll compare the reported willingness to get a COVID-19 vaccine at 3 and 6 months of it becoming available. It says the messaging slants under investigation include, I'll go through them. personal freedom message, a message about how COVID-19 is limiting your personal freedom and how society, by working together to get enough people vaccinated, can preserve our personal freedom. All you got to do is give up your Fourth Amendment rights and first and just take this shot and you'll be free. We promise. Does that sound creepy? Kind of like the heroin dealer, right? Economic freedom, same thing. A message how COVID-19 is limiting your economic freedom and how society, by working together to get enough people vaccinated, can preserve their economic freedom. You can make more money. You can go out and spend your money. You know, it's going to all be on Amazon because they've intermittently destroyed every other competition, every other competitive resource. How about self-interest? A message that COVID-19 presents a real danger to your health, even if one is young and healthy, and how getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is the best way to prevent oneself from getting sick. I mean, folks, come on. You know anybody who's gotten a flu shot and didn't get sick? I don't. It's just the opposite. It is such a farce. Community interest message, a message about the dangers of COVID-19 to the health of your loved ones. The more people who get vaccinated against COVID-19, the lower the risk that your loved ones will get sick. Society must work together and all get vaccinated. This is the writing of the government through Yale that they wanted, that they're, this is what they're thinking, folks. How about they go from economic freedom to economic benefit? Well, let's first do community interest. We did the self-interest, you know. It's so dangerous to your health. A message about how COVID-19 is dangerous to the health of your loved ones, and the more people get vaccinated against it, the lower the risk that one's loved ones will get sick. Society must, it ends the same way. We all work together to get vaccinated. And then they have the self-interest was getting vaccinated is the best way to prevent yourself from getting sick. Economic benefit, a message about how COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on the economy. No, the Democrats are, and Fauci is. And the only way to strengthen the economy is to work together to get enough people vaccinated. Folks, be ready for the pressure coming down like a hammer. I mean, this stuff is just crazy. And you know what? It is not COVID-19 that's wreaking havoc on our economy. It's our response to it. And then you get crazy Biden. He says he wants to lock us down. You know, if he has this control. And you know why? Because Trump did everything right. Everything. Trump has done everything right. I mean, and they can't fault him. That's what I was saying about the two-party system. They are so adamant about this destructive opposition. Look at what we're doing. We live in a country with half of these people behave like Venezuela. Trump's a law and order president. Why is it that all of these crazy, whacked out cities, the top 10 worst cities for murders, mayhem, destruction, you know, crime, they're all run by liberals and have been for quite a time. It's just a flat fact. But yet, they want to jam this down everybody's throat. Can you really imagine what this country would look like if Biden won? You know, he's out. He's Weekend at Bernie's. If you remember that old movie where they had the dead guy and they were driving around with him in the boat and the car and had him in the house. It's very humorous. That's what Biden is. He's Weekend at Biden's. They're dragging around a corpse. He's just a symbolic mascot. He's super weak. If you go through his history of what he's done, he's just been off the wall. The polls show there's no enthusiasm for Biden. He's been there 47 years. And Trump last night in his speech said his record is a shameful roll call. You know, he pushed for NAFTA, which basically sucked all the jobs out of this country. He called the admission of China into the World Trade Organization. And I mean, they're as corrupt as you get, you know, and because of it, we lost 1 in 4 manufacturing jobs, which Trump is bringing back. he's you know, he supported the TPP, which Trump stopped, Trans-Pacific Partnership. That would have, it would have sucked all of our auto manufacturing out of this country. It would have brought it all to Mexico, maybe some to Canada. We'd have lost it all, among others. Caterpillar, all these companies. Because there'd be no import or export taxes. How? Why would they want to do this? Why would they want to take a country that has, I mean, granted, we're hyper-regulated, but you go to Mexico, I mean, I've been down there probably 12 times, at least. Let me tell you something. Their building codes ain't like ours. I do a lot of construction, and I'm telling you, I hate it. I hate the garbage regulation. But I'll tell you what, it's better than there. And they're like that with everything. I mean, people, you know, they can be working on a job cutting lumber, and they chop their hand off, and that's that. You're on your own. There's no workman's comp. There's no one to protect you. There's no Employee Protective Act. It's just everything is bribery and corruption. So you want to send our car manufacturing down there where people can be exploited? The product is whatever. You don't even know. How do you... You know, if they move the headquarters of the company to Mexico, how in the world do you ever enforce warranty? You know, on you go. So he's, you know, the TPP was a disaster. Trump is a smart businessman. I think if we look at it honestly, is Trump really that bad? I mean, that we're being convinced he's so evil and so bad. And, oh, he never shuts up and he never stops texting and he never. Folks, if he didn't tweet and text and do his thing, he wouldn't be there right now. The media has done everything in their power to shut him off. Guess what? If you don't think that's true, then why all of a sudden is Twitter and Facebook, you know, coming after him and shutting his stuff down and turning it off and kicking his son out? And it's because that's the last organic vehicle he has. The president of the great United States of America, and they want to shut him down? That's sick. That is treason. These things are treasonous. Who do you think that supports? Our enemies, foreign and domestic. That is the definition of treason. Or giving aid and comfort. Listen to Biden. You know, oh, China's great and Russia, you know, all this. They give, anyway, you get my point. This, it's not, these people are off their rocker. This is the greatest threat. Trump said, and I believe it, and I think his daughter said it too, that this is probably one of the most, this is the most significant election in our history. I mean, and it's going to be a mess, folks. We're going to have ballots bouncing all over because after all, you know, Pelosi wants everybody who's ever been registered to vote to get a ballot. You know, we're going to, it's going to be like Trump will win 59 or Biden will win 59% to 57% or something. That's a joke if you didn't get the math. It's not possible. Or else there will be 350 million votes or something. It's so corrupt. And then they're going to have ballots that didn't show up. They're going to set it up. So large groups of people supposedly send in ballots late, but they'll be never sent or something so that they can spike the punch. That's why they were beating up this Postmaster General of the United States. Because they want to knock him out. They want to scare him. Everything's about intimidation. Just like Trump said, they scare you. They've been trying to do it to him. How many people could endure what that man's endured? One other thing, I'm going to buzz down the rest of this COVID messaging. Prepare yourself. Another thought I had that's a little bit obscure. Okay. If you notice the squad, okay, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar or whatever her crazy name is, and then the two other gals in the squad, they're all Muslim. Can't tell you their names right now, and I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't offend any of you. They hate this. They've come out and said they're not supporting the Biden agenda. Well, think about this. What are these gals' ultimate aspirations? President, power. If Biden gets in office, they can't attack Biden. If they start attacking Biden, they'll get Nancy Pelosi after him. She'll shred them up and throw them in the garbage. She's nasty, right? So what do they do? I mean, they got to be looking for it. Plus, if Biden gets in, they've got to hypothetically wait 8 years, as if Biden could be reelected or would be around to be reelected. However, you get, you know, Kamala Harris. She'll be your president. Crazy prosecutor, nasty, another tough one, folks. When you get people that are godless, it's pretty hard. It's different between being godless and anti-God. I mean, you know, there's atheism and agnosticism and all that, but when they get that man thing, not man, but like human, we're the solution to everything. And I mean, really look at it. We're this pathetic little speck on this massive planet in this incredible universe. We live in a wonderful, wonderful place. But how much impact do we really have? I mean, we're like, oh, folks, if you even had, it's kind of like when I talked about wearing the masks. The COVID virus is 1/157,000,000th of 1/10th of a millimeter. In other words, the 1/10th of a millimeter is the minimal space you could have in a mask. Actually, they say you can't even breathe at that small. Okay, it's the same on the grand scale. You look at like, oh, the glaciers and Glacier Park are melting. It's our fault for smoking cigarettes and raising cattle and driving cars. No way. You look at the size of these things, the size of these glaciers in 1933. The mass, when the last pictures were taken before recent, I think it was, the mass of one of these glaciers, and I did the math and I don't have it in front of me, the mass of one glacier would be more than the mass of every human being on Earth, 8 billion piled up. One of these glaciers that's melted by like maybe 60%. So, If our entire body mass is the equivalent of one insignificant glacier in Glacier Park 6 to 10,000 years after an ice age, how much of an impact do we really have? I mean, yeah, we drive cars and all that, but they're little specks. They're teeny, teeny, tiny on the grand scale. The Earth is 25,000 miles in diameter, or in circumference, and 8,000 in diameter. I mean, it's, anyway. I hope you get my point there. It's just more of the same con. Tell a lie, Joseph Goebbels, long enough the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, easier they'll believe it. Why the bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it? Because it can't comprehend it. Kind of like evolution. Start talking about 10, 40, 50, 80, 100 billion years ago and all these things. Your mind can't even comprehend. It's not even relevant, okay? It just doesn't even make sense. And that's, unfortunately, what they're doing to us here. We don't know. Fear of the unknown. Oh, my gosh. This terrible virus is coming. It's going to kill us all, and it's a scam. Okay, so let's finish this messaging from Yale study. Guilt message. A message is about the danger that COVID-19 presents to the health of one's family and community. Therefore, the best way to protect them is not only by getting vaccinated, but to get society to work together to get enough people vaccinated. Then a test question asks the participant to imagine the guilt they will feel if they don't get vaccinated and end up spreading that disease. There's a bunch here, a couple more. Embarrassment message. They have a message is about the danger of COVID-19 that it presents to the health of one's family and community. The best way to protect them is by getting vaccinated, by working together to make sure that enough people get vaccinated. Then it asks the participant to imagine the embarrassment they'll feel if they don't get vaccinated and spread the disease. You know, folks, they have at Planned Parenthood, there's a gal that came out who was a director there. They would train their people to talk to the girls coming in for an abortion, find out their hot button. That term comes from sales, okay? We all have a hot button, okay? Somebody, you know, if people are going to invest in gold, some of them want it for personal preservation, you know? Some of them want it for security. Some of them want it for privacy. Some of them want it for long-term growth, for a college education, or, you know, everyone's got a hot button. Everyone's got a reason they do what they do. The car business is the same. So what they do at Planned Parenthood is they talk to these girls, find out what their worst fear is. My fear, oh, I won't go to college, or if my mother finds out. And then they repeat this to them, this mantra. They repeat it over and over and over and over to get them to go through with the abortion. She said they would have multiple girls come in, like on a Saturday or a Wednesday. They get piles of them because of the peer pressure. They feel like they fit in better. And if they see, and they watch them close, and if they start to teeter or get emotional, they'll call them in right away. They'll switch the docket and bring them right in before they have time to blow out. This is the same logic. They're going to keep the pressure on you from every angle. You're going to get these crazy neighbors that are going to tattle, you don't have the vaccine, you're no good. It's going to be the red letter A, the scarlet letter. I mean, if you're not familiar with that story, you should learn about it. For adulterers, they would make women in these Puritan colonies wear a red A if they got caught committing adultery. Of course, the women, not the men. But the thing is it's the same here. You know, are you going to have a little, a big red, you know, sign in your yard that says, I don't have the vaccine, stay away? Really? It might be a good way to keep some people away. But so then they got the anger message. This message is about the danger that COVID-19 presents to the health of one's family and community. The best way to protect them is by getting vaccinated, by working together to make sure enough people get vaccinated. Same mantra every time. Then it asks the participant to imagine the anger they'll feel if they don't get vaccinated and spread the disease, and also the anger they'll feel towards those who don't get the vaccine if they do. Then we got trust in science message. Ooh, we got to trust in science. Who cares about our elected officials, right? We got to trust in Anthony Fauci. It says a message about how getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is the most effective way of protecting, same thing every time, one's community. The vaccination is backed by science. Ooh, show me the science. I know they go right back, well, the polio vaccine. Well, folks, study that. Polio vaccine came as polio was already tanking off. And there are situations, those, you know, there's things that work, like penicillin. But that doesn't mean it works for all things all the time. And now they've changed it so much, I don't have time on this show to even discuss it. But the thing is this is what, oh, you know, Joe Biden, follow the science. I would follow the science. I would follow the science. This is their game. It's like, it's so divisive and duplicitous, and it's just contemptuous. The level of contempt that, Nancy Pelosi speaks about the president with, what an absolute lack of respect. She's hypothetically the third most powerful woman in the world, third most powerful person in the world. And she's speaking of absolute disdain and contempt towards our president. It's just disgusting. It's so divisive. You think George Washington knew what he was worrying about? I think so. Last message, called the Not Brave message, a message which describes how firefighters, doctors, and frontline medical workers are brave. But those who choose not to get vaccinated against COVID-19 are not brave. You're a coward. You won't get a vaccine. You're a coward. I mean, folks, this is coming. Prepare yourself. The manipulation aspect is equally, if not more, evident in the listed secondary outcome measures. I got more to this thing, and I don't have time to go over it. It's pretty interesting. It's brainwashing. It's organized taxpayer propaganda, and that's exactly what it is. This is the result. All of this, even COVID-19, is the result of the two-party system. They don't care if Biden destroys the country as long as they win. And you know, when you get the evil in the dark, you have this. It's kind of like they say, you know, the man to fear the most is the man with nothing to lose, okay? Well, the thing is that their attitude right now, they don't care if they win or lose, as long as Trump loses, they hate him so bad. And that's their whole pitch. Trump is bad. He is evil. I know I've covered this before, folks, but this is, you know, when we got to contrast the two parties in this last convention thing, of course, you know, through video only, it was very refreshing and enlightening to me. It was like, okay, that brings me back. You get so much of this harsh rhetoric that you start to second guess, you know, you start not supporting your president, they start peeling us away and things like that. And I mean, this two-party system, folks, it's super destructive. It's divisive. It's destroying our country. And I'll repeat again, I have a feeling progressives might not show up for this election much because of what I said about the squad and all the radical Bernies and all them. But the thing is, they're still going to try to steal the election. You need to get out and vote. You've got to get out and vote. I mean, and get out, get online, discuss things, get your opinion out there, be intelligent, you know, and if you persuade one man, that's all it takes. So thanks for tuning in. Keep us in mind for financial assistance. God bless. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.